Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
2 Timothy 2:1-13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved with civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you, Rick. Again, welcome everybody. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Again, Lord, we thank you for full and free salvation that was very costly. Your own life blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We ask you to teach us through these brief passages of scripture this morning. You're in the business of teaching us through your Holy Spirit, again, to try to conform us to the image of your dear Son. And one day we will be like him. In the meantime, we are to walk with you, progress in our faith, and be guided by your Holy Spirit. So teach us this morning, not just as a group, but individually as well. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness by your precious blood, so we might be filled with your Spirit, because this word is spiritually discerned. We ask in Jesus' name for your help. Amen. Veterans Day. Veterans Day. What is a veteran? So the teacher asked that in a class, small children. And the little girl put her hand up. She said, What is a veteran? Child put her hand up, said, a veteran is someone who doesn't eat meat. Let's move on. We thank you for all the veterans. Without them and their sacrifices, we wouldn't have the freedoms we enjoy today. Amen. They sacrifice their time, their wants, their needs, some their health, separated from their families, to serve their country and to give us the freedom that we can enjoy. They're serving their country, they're serving us as well, and the freedoms we can enjoy here in America. Someone once said, it's the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It's the veteran who has given us freedom of religion. Amen. Freedom isn't cheap. It's costly, and many shed their blood in order to give us the freedoms that we enjoy, which we take for granted. This passage of scriptures that we heard and read this morning was given by a man who was also a veteran, not just in age, venerable, yes, also a veteran in the army of the Lord. You know you're in the Lord's army? The Apostle Paul had fought many battles. He bore the scars, no doubt, having been beaten with rods, whipped, and almost killed, being almost stoned to death, bore the scars in his body for all the years of service that he put in for the Lord. He bore the scars, and so many veterans do as well. Some scars that we cannot see, some scars that we can see visibly. Another definition of a veteran is a person who's had long experience in a particular field. Paul had long experience in his field of service as a missionary. Preached for 30 years before he was killed in Rome. Some say beheaded. His head was removed because Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul was a veteran in the army of the Lord. We have some veterans in the army of the Lord here this morning. Sarah, dare I say it? 90 years young. She's a veteran in the Lord. Paul was nearing the end of his life. He's in prison in Rome, waiting execution. And he wanted to pass on to a young man, future preacher, young pastor, a novice, if you will, Timothy. A raw recruit, if you like, in the army of the Lord, preparing for battle. And believe me, it is a battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. Did you know that? We tend to forget that. Remember it. We're not supposed to fight one another. The battle is the Lord's, and the enemy of our souls is Satan. Some of you are young soldiers in the army of the Lord. Some people haven't been saved for very long. And you can get some good advice from these veterans that are here this morning that have served the Lord for many, many years. You can pick their brains if there's anything left. But anyway, regardless of the advice, make sure their advice coincides with this, okay? Paul tells Timothy to be strong. He's not talking about necessarily physical strength or mental strength, academic strength. He's saying be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is grace? The goodness and kindness, the merciful, unmerited favor of God. And God's grace is available to us every single day, every stage of life that we go through, every battle that we face or are in. Every trial, every temptation that comes our way, the grace of God is always available to us. Amen? Let's appropriate the grace of God. That's amazing grace, always available to us. Comes from no other source apart from the Lord himself. So many people in this world don't have the privilege of knowing Jesus as personal Savior and experiencing that grace on a daily basis. Most of them are searching for strength to live in this world from within. But they will never find true peace and spiritual strength apart from receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus says to his disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." We have the power living in us. We have the power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Paul was getting on in years. He was about to die, and he wanted to pass on to young Timothy the things that he had learned. You may not be the strongest soldier in the Lord's army. You may not be the brightest, but you can pass on to others the lessons that God has taught you, whether good or bad. What's he teaching you now? What's the Lord trying to teach you now? What lessons is the Lord trying to teach you? What lessons are you learning? Are we learning at all? Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says, therefore, endure hardness. Life is tough, isn't it? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Remember, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're all in the army of the Lord. Endure hardness. Military life can be really hard. Some veterans have spent days without food and water under the most difficult circumstances on the foreign field. Some captured, some tortured, some maimed for life, both physically, emotionally, and mentally. Seen horrific things that no one should ever witness. And many return as wounded warriors without limbs. These are our veterans. They make sacrifices to keep us free. But through it all, they endure. They endure, they overcome, and are victorious in the end. We are overcomers. We need to endure. We need to hang in there. If you're a Christian, and I hope that you are, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Remember that. We are victorious. We're overcomers. We're soldiers of the cross. And soldiers of the cross are called to endure hardship. Some people just throw in the towel. I can't do this. No, you can't. None of us can. But by God's grace, we can endure. We'll keep on keeping on until the Lord takes us home. Have the same attitude as Paul did. But whatever we go through, whatever we suffer, is nothing like what the early church fathers had to suffer. Each and every one of them died a martyr's death. Died horrible demise, except John, but he also suffered. Died on the island of Patmos as an exile in prison, John the Revelator. They suffered, but they endured to the end. They overcame and they were victorious. Many Christians face hardships, we all do from time to time, and persecution, but nothing like they have to do in the third world. We have no conception of what they are going through. And hopefully we'll never have to go through that either. Many suffer loss of life, torture, imprisonment, simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Some missionaries, most of them I would say, are called upon to make sacrifices. That's what soldiers do. They make sacrifices, endure various types of suffering. There's different types of suffering, different forms of suffering, not just physical suffering. There's one missionary named Joe Shreven, probably never heard of him, born in 1875, a missionary from Ireland. He was called to work amongst the Iroquois Indians. A year later, he was joined by his fiancée, also from Ireland, and they were going to get married. But before the wedding, she drowned. She lost her life. And again, sometimes afterwards, he wrote a letter to his mother, and you're familiar with what he wrote. It's a little poem that he wrote. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Did you know that Joe Shreven from Ireland wrote that? Neither did I. Take it to the Lord in prayer. No matter what, we will always have a friend in Jesus. No matter what, we can always rely on him. He'll always be there for us, no matter what. In verse 4, Paul writes to Tim, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Who's our commanding officer? Army of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Just as a soldier in the army must be on guard against those things that would distract him from doing his duty, and we owe the Lord, we Christians must be on guard against those things that will distract us from obeying our commander-in-chief. So many distractions in the world today, isn't there, for the Christian? Our enemy and God's enemy, the devil, is an expert at trying to distract us in any way possible, to get us to take our eyes off the Bible, take our eyes off the Lord, and from coming to church. He'll try every trick in the book, bring up anything to try to distract us from doing those things that God wants us to do. So Paul is telling Timothy here, stay focused on what's most important. What's most important for the Christian? Our relationship with God. That's most important, paramount. Attending church shouldn't be an option. It's a necessity, an absolute necessity. And it's commanded in the Bible. When us pastors get together, usually once a month, that's the main thing that comes up. That people do not regularly attend church services. Regularly, faithfully, religiously. And I thank God that everyone is here this morning. During the American Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, you know, he was the president, the commander-in-chief of the Union forces. You can imagine the great burden that he had, because on his orders, being the commander-in-chief, he knew that men would be sent into battle and they would die, and that was a real burden and a concern for him. Men going into battle, putting their lives in jeopardy on his orders. So what he did, he organized a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. We had a nice breakfast yesterday morning, and I guess we presented a little devotional as well. It's not just about the food and fellowship, it's also focusing and learning something about the Lord, how we can walk with the Lord. And he did the same thing. He organized a prayer breakfast of ministers. He needed all the help he could get. So do we. Amen. So these ministers spoke about, you know, the different needs, what to pray about. And one of them said, "Oh, Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side. Let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln responded, "Respectfully, sir, let us pray that we are on God's side." You see the difference? Let us pray that we are on God's side. It's our responsibility to be faithful to Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to be faithful. At the end of his life, Paul was there waiting in that Roman jail. We don't know the circumstances, what it was like, getting ready to face his executioner, preparing for his death. Everyone had deserted him, except one person, and that was Luke, the one that wrote his letter, Luke. All the rest had deserted him, and he said in verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, "Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica." Because he loved this world, he's deserted me. So he's not only got the burden of knowing he's going to get his head removed, he knows that people have deserted him and left him rotting in that jail. So Paul's advice to Timothy was, don't let the things of this world entangle you. The things that make you a slave. Rather, stay on course. Remain faithful like a good soldier. Be faithful to God. Follow the Lord. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens. Paul's objective in life, he said, was to please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. To please who? To please God. How can we please God? Be faithful. Be obedient. Do what he says we're supposed to do. He always remains faithful to us. You know, there's only one supreme commander in chief over all the branches of the United States military. Do you know who that is? The president. Correct, Rick. The president. He's the commander in chief. And once called up, and Rick could tell you, and any other veteran, every soldier, whatever branch, from enlisted men to the highest ranking officers, they have to swear an oath of allegiance to obey the chief's orders. Who's the chief? The commander-in-chief? The president. We Christians are also called. We are the called, not just for salvation. He calls us to be saved, which we are. We responded to that call when we heard it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, that's the call. We responded to the call. We're called, not just for salvation, but also for service. Also for service. Who does the calling? none other than the supreme commander of the universe. We've all been called into the Lord's army, and we better make sure we don't desert him. Many fall away. They desert. They just don't go AWOL. They desert the Lord of glory. Don't desert the Savior. Like Demas deserted Paul. Why? Why do people desert the Lord? Just like Demas, they love this present world. Be careful not to love this present world. Don't be distracted, regardless of what other people are doing, what other people are thinking. Keep your eyes focused and don't be distracted. That's what the devil wants you to do. Let's not love the world and the philosophy of this world and the lifestyle of this world. We are different, and we're supposed to act differently because we are different. We are a new creation in Christ. Let's act like it. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Love Jesus. And if we do that, we won't desert him. You cannot serve, or we cannot serve, two masters. We cannot serve the world and serve God at the same time. It's impossible. You either love the one and not the other one. And what's most important? To love God. Life is short. And the wisest choice that we could ever make in this life was to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's the smartest, wisest choice that anyone can ever make, to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And then what? To follow him all the days of our life. So many people in the army of the Lord here, veterans that have been Christians for many, 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 many years. There may have been a time when this place was full. I don't know. Where are they now? Only God knows. Where are the children of the ones that used to attend here? Where are the grandchildren? We've got people here that have remained faithful, because they follow the Lord. They keep their eyes focused on Jesus. And what's most important? Our relationship with God. One of the wisest men who's ever been born outside of Jesus Christ was Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And he said, at the end of his long, long life, and he'd walked and lived on both sides of the tracks, like some of you have, like some of us have. We know what it's like to live in the world, but it's a dead-end street. Has no value. At the end of his long life, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion. I'm coming to the conclusion of this message. That what is the conclusion of the whole matter? What's the whole point of life? Let's sum it up like this, shall we? And he says, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. How can we fear God and keep his commandments? We keep our eyes on what Jesus had done for us on the cross at Calvary. Remember what he did and what it cost him on that cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Never forget that. Keep focused on what he did. And by the grace of God, he'll help us each day through the power of the Holy Spirit. That old battled soldier, Paul, suffered greatly so he could fulfill his calling to preach the gospel so people could be saved. The sacrifices that he made wasn't for himself. He did it because he loved the Lord and he didn't want people to go to a lost eternity. He made those sacrifices and he bore the scars for his service for Jesus Christ. He ended up in that Roman dungeon. And while he was there, just imagine it, he had time to contemplate his future death. But he could look back on his life, his Christian life, because I'm sure he had regrets prior to being saved. We all do. But now, that's old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation in Christ, and so was Paul. And for 30 years, he remained faithful. 30 years. And he looked back on his life. He could look back on his life with no regrets. Let's not look back on our life and saying, if only I could have, or should have, or would have. He said, Paul, and he wrote, I have fought the good fight. Soldier, you see. Soldier in the army of the Lord. I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. He didn't go AWOL. He didn't desert the Lord. He finished his course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to us too. Not to me only, but also all them that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you waiting for the Lord to return? Once saved, we've been enlisted in the Lord's army. Let's not forget, by God's grace, to do our duty and obey our Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you, veterans. Let's just close in prayer. Can we stand, please? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you called us as people in this world, people that we know, the majority in this dry and thirsty land that do not know you as personal Savior. But the opportunity is there. The Bible is available. People can hear the gospel on the radio. There are churches like this where the gospel is taught and preached. But there's places in this world that people never have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And we know that one day, because you are loving, you are kind, you are merciful, and you love people, you love sinners, you will send your witnesses to every tribe and every tongue and every nation, so they will have the opportunity to preach and hear the gospel, to be saved and exercise their free will. Thank God you gave us the grace to believe. You gave us the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by you. Thank you, we've been enlisted into the army of the Lord. Let us never forget that we're in a spiritual warfare as soldiers of the cross. Let's not be distracted by the things of this world, that we'll take our eyes off what's important, our relationship with you. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the communion, the power, the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us now, and we know throughout our life and the future life to come. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.